"What is it, skipper?" called Lieutenant Rodrigo. "Have you found something?" As Norton dragged himself back to present reality, some of the oppression lifted from his mind. There was mystery here, yes, but it might not be beyond human understanding. He had learned a lesson, though it was not one that he could readily impart to others. At all costs, he must not let Rama overwhelm him. That way lay failure, perhaps even madness. "No," he answered. "There's nothing down here. Haul me up. We'll head straight to Paris." Chapter 14. Storm Warning.
"I've called this meeting of the committee," said His Excellency the Ambassador of Mars to the United Planets, "because Dr. Pereira has something important to tell us. He insists that we get in touch with Commander Norton right away, using the priority channel we've been able to establish, after, I might say, a good deal of difficulty. Dr. Pereira's statement is rather technical, and before we come to it, I think a summary of the present position might be in order. Dr. Price has prepared one. Oh, yes, some apologies for absence. Sir Lewis Sands is unable to be with us because he is chairing a conference, and Dr. Taylor asks to be excused."
He was rather pleased about that last abstention. The anthropologist had rapidly lost interest in Rama when it became obvious that it would present little scope for him. Like many others, he had been bitterly disappointed to find that the mobile worldlet was dead. Now there would be no opportunity for sensational books and vidis about Raman rituals and behavioral patterns. Others might dig up skeletons and classify artifacts. That sort of thing did not appeal to Conrad Taylor. Perhaps the only discovery that would bring him back in a hurry would be some highly explicit works of art, like the notorious frescoes of Thera and Pompeii. Thelma Price, the archaeologist, took exactly the opposite point of view. She preferred excavations and ruins uncluttered by inhabitants who might interfere with dispassionate scientific studies. The bed of the Mediterranean had been ideal, at least until the city planners and landscape artists had started getting in the way. And Rama would have been perfect, except for the maddening detail that it was 100 million kilometers away, and she would never be able to visit it in person.
"As you all know," she began, "Commander Norton has completed one traverse of almost 30 kilometers without encountering any problems. He explored the curious trench shown on your maps as the Strait Valley. Its purpose is still quite unknown, but it's clearly important as it runs the full length of Rama, except for the break at the cylindrical sea. And there are two other identical structures, 120 degrees apart, round the circumference of the world." Then the party turned left, or east, if we adopt the North Pole Convention, until they reached Paris. As you'll see from this photograph, taken by a telescope camera at the hub, it's a group of several hundred buildings with wide streets between them. Now, these photographs were taken by Commander Norton's group when they reached the site. If Paris is a city, it's a very peculiar one. Note that none of the buildings have windows, or even doors. They are all plain rectangular structures, an identical 35 meters high, and they appear to have been extruded out of the ground. There are no seams or joints. Look at this close-up of the base of a wall. There's a smooth transition into the ground. My own feeling is that this place is not a residential area, but a storage or supply depot. In support of that theory, look at this photo. These narrow slots or grooves, about 5 centimeters wide, run along all the streets, and there's one leading to every building, going straight into the wall. There's a striking resemblance to the streetcar tracks of the early 20th century. They are obviously part of some transport system. We've never considered it necessary to have public transport direct to every house. It would be economically absurd. People can always walk a few hundred meters. But if these buildings are used for the storage of heavy materials, it would make sense.
May I ask a question? Said the ambassador for Earth.
Of course, Sir Robert.
Commander Norton couldn't get into a single building.
No. When you listen to his report, you can tell he was quite frustrated. At one time, he decided that the buildings could only be entered from underground. Then he discovered the grooves of the transport system and changed his mind.
Did he try to break in?
There was no way he could, without explosives or heavy tools, and he doesn't want to do that until all other approaches have failed.
I have it, Dennis Solomons suddenly interjected. Cocooning!
I beg your pardon? It's a technique developed a couple of hundred years ago, continued the science historian. Another name for it is mothballing. When you have something you want to preserve, you seal it inside a plastic envelope and then pump in an inert gas. The original use was to protect military equipment between wars. It was once applied to whole ships. It's still widely used in museums that are short of storage space. No one knows what's inside some of the 100-year-old cocoons in the Smithsonian basement.
Patience was not one of Carlyle Pereira's virtues. He was aching to drop his bombshell and could restrain himself no longer.
Please, Mr. Ambassador, this is all very interesting, but I feel my information is rather more urgent.
If there are no other points, very well. Dr. Pereira.